We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard here on this Friday night. Coming up, we'll have NFL picks, we'll have guests that takes, we'll have our FanDuel props, our favorite FanDuel props for the Eagles and the Jets coming up on Sunday. We know the Eagles have never lost a game to the New York Jets, and I will be keeping an eye here. We'll talk to our buddy Steve Fezzik in a few minutes from pregame.com. I will be keeping an eye on the line for the Eagles and the Jets game because, as we know, Jalen Hurts is questionable. Nick Sirianni today said it is still up in the air as to who his quarterback is going to be Sunday. Perhaps gamesmanship. But we do know Gardner Minshew took some of the reps with the first team this week. So if it's gamesmanship, the Eagles are obviously taking it to the full extent by using practice reps this week for Gardner Minshew. I do wonder what the point spread difference would be if it would be Gardner Minshew on Sunday. Let's ask that and a bunch of other things to Steve Fezzik of pregame.com. He joins us now on NFL Week 13. Steve, how are you tonight?
I am excellent. You know what? Gardner Minshew, I only have as a half-point downgrade. However, that's assuming Minshew would play all the time. It's a more significant downgrade the first week it happens because the offenses obviously would be so much different with Minshew than with Hurts.
Yeah, and that's what we were diving into tonight, like the idea that, yeah, I've been right, he's not a bad player. He's had some success as a quarterback, but to jump in there, to parachute in, they either would have to run the same offense without the threat of a running quarterback, or they'd have to change a lot of things in 1 week. That seems like it's pretty difficult to do.
Yes, and Vegas is very skittish about this game. The book that takes the very biggest action in town, well, there's some books that take really big bets, but they only take bets from suckers. The book that takes big bets from wise guys, Circus Sports, is down to 6 on this game. They're the low man on the totem pole here, so Circa clearly is thinking, Eagles might not have their quarterback.
Interesting. Steve Fezzik of pregame.com here. Steve, let's talk about some of these lines. And one that I find interesting is the Arizona Cardinals giving 7.5 points on the road to the Chicago Bears. We know it's going to be Dalton for the Bears and no Fields even active. Foles is going to be the backup. Meanwhile, we think Kyler Murray is going to come back. I mean, the Cardinals have been incredible on the road. The Bears have been really poor offensively all season, barely beat the Lions. Why isn't this number higher?
Because we don't know if Murray and we don't know if Hopkins are actually going to play. And if they don't play, we saw this with previous games, as good as Colt McCoy has played versus expectation, there have been enormous line moves against Arizona with that quarterback change. So that's why.
Steve, when I look at some of the games this week, there's some bigger numbers out there. One of them, the Indianapolis Colts, 10-point road favorites right now against the Houston Texans. Colts have played much better overall the past couple months than they did the first month of the season. And this, if they're going to make the playoffs, if they're going to have a successful end of their season, they need to take care of business here against a bad Texans team. Will they, and will they cover 10?
I can only look towards the favorite here. You know, the Colts started 0-3. They were bad. O-line was injured. Wentz was injured. Since then, I can make the case they easily could be 9-0. Three close losses to really good teams. How they lost that Baltimore game up 16 late in the fourth quarter, I don't know. Lost overtime to Tennessee. And then, of course, the Tampa Bay loss could have gone either way as well. So the Colts are one of the best 6-6 teams I've ever seen. I could only lay it.
Steve, really even matchup it feels to me with the Chargers and the Bengals. Similar kind of teams where they're kind of fringe playoff teams. They both might make it. Maybe one doesn't. Maybe one does. This could go a long way to that. The numbers kind of sat at 3 all week long. The Chargers, 3-point road dogs in Cincinnati. What do you make of this matchup?
So if it was the 1980s, back when home field was worth three, and these two teams played in the Ice Bowl, the true Ice Bowl, minus 59 degrees wind chill, this line would make sense. Actually, it wouldn't, because we'd bet the Bengals. But in terms of home field's only worth like a point and a half now in the NFL, and you nailed it. These two teams are close enough. I cannot get the three for the spread that I make this game. Chargers plus three would be the side I'd look to.
Steve, a game that just looks too easy, I'm not sure if it is. The Niners are 3.5-point road favorites in Seattle, though they're without Fred Warner and they're without Debo Samuel this week against a Seahawks team. It just feels like the whole house of cards is toppling over, and the Seahawks are in trouble right now. Russell Wilson has not looked great since he came off the injured list. Do you think that continues, or is there some value here with the Seahawks getting more than a field goal at home?
This is actually my best bet, contrarian play, Seattle plus 3.5. Let me go ahead and give you a few reasons why. Samuel is so important to the offense for San Francisco. He has over 1,000 yards, reception yards. He runs the ball, and he gets 18 yards per catch. After him, it is a huge drop off to Ayuk, Sanu, whoever else San Fran's going to be throwing the ball to other than Kittle. That's really going to hurt the offense. And because of that, the wise guys prefer Seattle. What's telling, the South Point here in Las Vegas, they take a pretty good bet. They're dealing three on this game, and it's staying three. The pros are in no hurry to lay three on San Francisco, despite everybody else dealing this game 3.5. Seattle's the right side.
Steve, let's talk about the Sunday night game. The game we just talked about was actually flexed out. This one was flexed in. The Chiefs at home off a bye against the Denver Broncos. Every team in the AFC West is above 500. They're all in it. The Chiefs look like they're about to start really getting it to gear. They have already. But what do you make of this game? We know how good Andy Reid is off the bye, but it doesn't mean he always covers off the bye. It is a big number of 9.5.
Yeah, you nailed it. In recent years, it's been about 50-50 for Andy Reid. You know, I'm paid to go ahead and have my opinion on these games, and I say, you know, if you're going to bet it, bet this side or the other side. The truth is, almost every NFL spread is correct within a point. And if you're going to make a bet and you miss the better number, it is rarely correct to try to make money. There were 10s out here. Fine. Denver plus 10, I think, had solid value. Now it's 9.5. Wait it out. If it goes back to 10, I think you can bet Denver plus 10. I think you're getting too shortchanged at 9.5 because I think the correct line probably should be 9.5. I got to pass.
Speaking of line movement, Steve, earlier in the week, you could have gotten a great number considering Mike Glennon is going to start for the Giants if you were on the Dolphins. Early in the week, now it's corrected itself. It's moved. It is sitting at 6.5 where I look right now. The Dolphins are favored. They're on a hot streak right now. The Dolphins have played better football. Tua has played better. They get to take on Mike Glennon. Is 6.5 points too much?
I made this line 3.5. And then when the Glennon news broke that he was going to start, I moved it to 6, 2.5-point downgrade. So it's pretty much matching with where I had it. You know what? If we can still get a first half under 20, I think it's going to be a really low-scoring first half to start the game. Too conservative, that's the way it'd look.
Steve, the Ravens are 4.5-point favorites in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's coming off a just horrific outing last week against the Bengals, and things are not going well for the Steelers. Yet every time it's Steelers-Ravens, I always think these games tend to be close, even when one team is better than the other. The Ravens' offense has not been good for a couple weeks now. 4.5 points, is that too much, or is Ben so bad right now that you can't back the Steelers?
Ben's bad, but I think you got the right idea. These two teams always do play close games. I think a 4 and a 5-point win for the Steelers last year, but historically it didn't matter. Backup quarterbacks, one team could be laying 10. It would still wind up and land on 3 for whatever reason in this rivalry. Because of that, history repeats itself. Maybe Steelers one last stand to try to save their season. Lean Steelers.
Steve, I probably wouldn't take this game either way because it's tough to back either side. 13 with the Jaguars. I mean, they've been terrible in a lot of spots, and the Rams have been so down recently. I would think this is a big bounce-back spot for the Rams, but my question is, what's going on with the Rams? Because for years, I think it was just natural to say, well, see, it's Jared Goff, right? Jared Goff, he's the problem. It's not Jared Goff anymore. Right now, the offense is struggling again second half of the season, even though they upgraded a quarterback. Why are the Rams struggling so much to you?
Because Matthew Stafford is not playing like Matthew Stafford, so there's talk that he's been injured. I don't know if he's healthier. Some of these interceptions he's thrown, like in particular the game against the Titans where he threw a pick six that totally changed the conception of the game, are just outrageous compared to his career. I know he did some of that with Detroit when he was trailing, but he just has to take care of the ball and the Rams will win. I only bet favorites, big favorites, when they're ultra motivated in good spots against terrible teams. That's the situation here. If you got to play it, you bet the Rams.
All right, I saved the game of the week last for our conversation here, and that would be Monday Night Football. It is the Patriots at the Bills. The Patriots had an unbelievable run here with Mac Jones as a rookie quarterback, playing great defense, rushing the quarterback, and now they go to Buffalo, a game that, you know, will go a long way to determine this division, but also potentially the number one seed in the AFC. Patriots getting 2.5. It is under a field goal on Monday night, and we know there's some weather possibly involved up at Orchard Park. How do you read this game?
I literally made this game 2.75. So if you can lay 2.5, you've got about a 52% bet on Buffalo. It's not quite good enough to make. I do want to comment on the total, which currently sits at 42. I gave this out to my clients at 45. I talk all the time about how difficult it is to win betting the NFL. That's not really completely accurate. If you're on top of your game and you do your research early, you didn't have to be able to name a player that played. You don't know who the coaches are or the quarterbacks. If you were just tracking the weather, you caught the weather, and you bombed in under 45 and then under 44, and guess what? People are going to be looking at this. They're going to turn on their TVs. They're going to see the crappy weather, and they're going to play under 41.5 before the game starts. No value in that.
Steve, appreciate it. We'll be enjoying your work at pregame.com, and let's catch up soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Best bet, Seattle, 3.5.
Like it. Steve Fezzik, pregame.com on the Seattle Seahawks plus 3.5. You might hear that in my picks coming up later this hour. So good stuff by Steven. How about that? So he thinks there's only about a half point downgrade. You hear that? Downgrade to Gardner Minshew. But he said,
because he's rusty.
Well, because it's, well, also it's a totally different offense that he should be in there running if he was more of the full-time quarterback. What I think is interesting is he said Vegas is totally holding their breath on this one because they don't know what to do with the number, because they don't know what to believe with Jalen Hurts. It's different. Like, when Kyler Murray was out those weeks, by Friday, even though the Cardinals weren't announcing it, you would see the line move like 2 points or 3 points. Like, oh, he's not going to play. Someone knows something. Well, he did say that one of the books out in Vegas, Circa Sports, that I guess takes some of the bigger numbers, they moved the number down to 6. I'm starting to wonder if someone knows something, Tucker, or they think they know something.
What's interesting is I wonder how much the Eagles having a new coaching staff affects all this, right? Because even though Cliff Kingsbury has only been around for 3 years, you kind of have an idea what the Cardinals are going to do based on their practice reports every week. I think most teams have that. This is the first real major question mark the Eagles have had injury-wise this season, right? Like, I know Lane Johnson kind of walked away the morning of a game. I know they had Miles Sanders for a few weeks, but this is the first time as of Friday afternoon that a big key player is kind of a huge question mark like this.
So here's one thing I've picked up on with Sirianni. Maybe I wonder if you've picked up on the same thing. I think he's more open and honest on Friday press conferences than most coaches. And to this point, when there's players that are questionable all week, they're really like up, we don't know. He says they're out if they're out on Friday, right? I don't care one time this year where he has been vague and then the player has not played. I am actually, as the week goes on, I think this is less gamesmanship and more they're not really sure right now because they want to see if he can push off and run on Sunday morning. Like, I think if Jalen shows them he can run on Sunday when the thing's all taped up, I think he'll start the game.
I also think if Jalen Hurts does sit on Sunday, if they deem that he's not ready to go, I know it looks bad because he's not playing. I'd argue that's a feather in the cap of Jalen Hurts, right? Because this franchise is basically saying we need to protect him, not just for next week or potentially the future, right? Because that's what, when you look at what Kyler Murray has missed in recent weeks, they don't really care. I mean, it's nice when you're winning with Colt McCoy, but their whole thing is we need Kyler Murray to be healthy for the next 10 years to make our investment of the first overall pick and whatever subsequent contract he's going to get soon worth it. So if you're Jalen Hurts and the Eagles and the medical staff and Nick Sirianni, and I guess it'll probably go up to Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie, a decision this big, if they say we need you healthy, not just next week, but into the offseason and next year, if I'm Jalen Hurts, I know he's going to want to play and I know he's not going to take the news well. But if you're Jalen Hurts' agent and you're worried about his status for next season, I think that's a huge moment for him.
Yeah, I agree. And I said something similar the other night, that they should try to protect him and his future. The opposite was RG3. I remember when he got hurt around December, whatever, middle December of his rookie year, he was wobbling on the field, and they just kept putting him out there. And, like, you almost could, it was almost like watching a car crash in slow motion. Like, you watched him run and move, and you're like, it's good. His knee's going to go. He's not right. And they never took him out. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that final knee injury that he got in the first round of the playoffs, It's like the most, I mean, it's not as gruesome as, you know, some of the other injuries Redskin quarterbacks have had or Washington quarterbacks have had.
Joe Theismann.
But it's just sad. Like, it's a non-contact injury. He's literally just bending over to pick up the football, and his knee gives out. And it's clear that that was so avoidable. It really was.
You know, did we discuss, I think it was brought up maybe off the air, but he's writing a tell-all book or something. He's gonna expose the Washington football team.
Which is super exciting to me.
I will read that.
I am very excited to see what he has. I love those tell-all books. They fascinate me. I am excited, and everything in the last few years exposes Washington as a corrupt franchise. They're still being investigated by the NFL for sexual harassment and other misdeeds done by that front office. I'm excited to see what Robert Griffin III has to say.
Yeah, look, I never thought he was totally, he was part of the problem,
He's
too.
He's not blameless.
No, because he pushed to come back right away from that injury, and I think he made the whole thing worse, and him and Shanahan fought about everything. But the bottom line is they threw him out there and he was hurt, and he basically ruined his career. I mean, is he the most forgotten? Like, I just feel like his stardom was such like a comet. And then it just disappeared, and we forget it happened. I remember watching Thanksgiving game that year. I guess it was Washington-Dallas. They were playing in Dallas. And at halftime of the game, Jimmy Johnson said he's the MVP of the league. He was a rookie. He was a rookie quarterback. Like, that doesn't ever happen. He was dynamic. And then it just died. Like, it ended so fast.
He was 20-28 for 311 yards, 4 touchdowns that day.
It was unbelievable. It was just scratching the surface as a thrower. I mean, like, they were basically running a very limited offense, too, because he just was trying to figure out how to read defenses and play at that level. And, you know, he was running a lot, but he had everything. I mean, he had everything you would need to be a star quarterback. And then it was over fast. And, you know, that happens to running quarterbacks a lot. It's part of why I think everything about Jalen Hurts' future is fascinating when it comes from a future with the Eagles. Because I like him. I think there's a pretty good chance he's the quarterback here next year, just based on you know, who they could get, who they can't get, how he's played. But, like, are the Eagles going to trust Jalen Hurts to stay healthy and productive as a running quarterback for 5 to 10 years? Let's pretend he has a good end to the season. He's the quarterback next year. Like, I think his eventual first contract extension, if he stays the Eagles quarterback, is going to be really difficult to figure out. Because, I mean, how many of these quarterbacks that have been similar to Jalen last? Cam Newton fell off like a cliff, as if he fell off a cliff physically because he was a runner who got banged up. Colin Kaepernick the same way. I mean, even Vince Young kind of fell off really fast. None of these guys last.
He got fat, too.
He did get fat. But none of these guys last.
No, and that's – I know we rag on Donovan McNabb a lot for the things he didn't achieve. His ability to go from being a player like Jalen Hurts, who may have been a run-first quarterback early in his career – his ability to transition to really a pocket passer the last 5 years of the Eagles, probably starting in 2004, we don't talk about that enough. And that's kind of what quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts, like, if he wants to be a quarterback for the next 10 years, if he wants to play until his mid-30s, that's something he's going to have to learn. It really is. Like, we always joke about Tom Brady being able to play at 44. I don't need Jalen Hurts to be Tom Brady, but, I mean, does Tom Brady even look like he's breaking a sweat out there?
Never.
He never does. Like, it looks like he is almost bored by the game, and he just has nothing else to do on Sunday, so he keeps showing up.
Just throw 6 yard out after 6 yard out after 6 yard slant all the way to, you know.
And if Jalen Hurts can figure out how to do that at least more regularly and win games from the pocket without getting hit, that's going to elongate his career. Like, I think that's still the next step. Russell Wilson's been in the league, what, a decade now? And even though he's been won a lot of games and he can throw from the pocket, he still does a lot of that running around.
Yep. And that's part of why I don't trust he's going to stay. He's going to play for 10 years at a high level, the way Brady has, or the way Peyton did until it was all over. It's just interesting with Jalen, because it's like, I think the best path to winning is obviously him playing like the way he does now, running the football using his legs. It's not the best path to his longevity. Nothing about the Eagles' decision on Hurts is going to be easy, and his future next contract, wherever he gets it, however he gets it, is going to be really interesting because. If he continues to play like this, I doubt he's going to be a long-term effective quarterback. But they might win, like Lamar. Like, they might win a lot early in his career, and then you kind of just deal with the rest afterwards. All right. And speaking of that, Lamar Jackson's still not paid. They didn't pay him yet. I imagine the Ravens are feeling the same thing, just at a higher level. Like, he's a better player. But, like, Are they going to pay him $45 million a year? I wouldn't.
Yeah, like Patrick Mahomes gets it because he won the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's kind of interesting. This next crop of quarterbacks, even though Lamar Jackson has an MVP, they don't have the same resume. Like, Dak Prescott got paid. I know he's played well, but I wonder how much the Cowboys are worried about that based on the injuries he's faced recently. The fact that he pretty much has stopped running the ball completely, he might be physically shot for the time being. I mean, if you're the Ravens and you're looking to pay Lamar Jackson, if you're the Cleveland Browns and you're looking to pay Baker Mayfield, I wonder how much they're actually willing to spend. Because these are two guys who, even though they've had success, even though they've really, for all intents and purposes, become your franchise quarterback, you haven't won with them as guys on the rookie deal. Right? Like, you haven't won with them making $7 million. Have they shown enough to make you think you can win with them making $40
million? Well, and then with the Lamar, it's like, how long is he physically going to be able to do what he does? I mean, if you think he could do it for five more years, I'd pay him. I mean, he's a really good player, and they win most of the games they have with him. But if you think he's going to physically decline because he's got hit, like Cam physically declined really fast, then I couldn't pay him. And we could be 2 years away from a Jalen conversation that is similar to that.
It's tough for him because he's never been hurt, right? He's missed games due to illness. He missed a game due to illness last week. He had COVID last year, and I think he had it in the training camp this year. But it tends to happen quick. Like you mentioned to Cam, it could happen overnight. Like yeah. You could get one hit like Carson Wentz and tear your ACL, and it could be done. Or all of a sudden, all the little hits that you got where you keep popping back up, at some point you pop back up just a little bit more slow.
I wonder, you mentioned Wentz, and we obviously know his career path. I wonder if any part of, in the back of Jalen Hurts' mind and why he wants to be out there on Sunday, what's one of the big reasons they drafted him? And they said it out loud.
His durability.
And the other guy couldn't stay healthy, right? Jalen Hurts is here in part because the Eagles were afraid that their last quarterback was either going to decline, which he did, or get hurt. And Jalen Hurts so far hasn't missed a snap. Has he missed a snap since he became the starting quarterback? Other than when he was pulled for Sudfeld.
No.
I don't think he has. So, like, that's probably part of it, too. Like, he's got to think in his mind, like, part of why I was valued here is I play. I don't get hurt. I'm tough, whatever. Not that Carson wasn't physically tough. I think he was. But not that I play. I get on the field every single Sunday for my team. I can't wait for Sunday morning to see how this whole thing goes. You think we'll have, like, the videos? Like, I'm sure Elliot will have a video or John Clark, like, of Jalen warming up on Sunday morning, like, moving around. I can't wait to see what he looks like.
I will say, if you're worried about him, Adam Schefter, usually at, like, 1 a.m. on Sunday mornings, he releases everything he knows about who's in and who's out. I have a feeling Jalen Hurts is going to be on that list. Very rarely does he not know, and very rarely does he say so-and-so is a game-time decision. I have a feeling around 1 a.m. on Sunday, roughly 10 hours before inactives come out, we'll know whether or not Jalen Hurts is going to play.
So when I wake up Sunday morning at like 6:30, I'll look at my phone and it'll say, Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts, questionable with an ankle injury, is expected to play today.
Yeah, usually he groups them all together. So he'll say Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Jalen Smith, or Jalen Hurts, all questionable, expected to play on Sunday.
Yeah. I could see that. So we get some sort of – and that's not a confirmation, but if Schefter's got it or Schefter feels like he knows it, that's a pretty good sign of where we're at. I think he had – you mentioned that. I think I saw it 2 or 3 weeks ago when it felt like Kyler was going to play, and that game wasn't until like 4:25. And you're right. I woke up and it was like he said it already. He's not playing. So he's got that inside information. So we'll see on Sunday. Speaking of if he plays or he doesn't, our poll question earlier in the night – if Gardner Minshew starts on Sunday, will the Eagles' offense be better or worse? 58% are with me on this. I feel like most people aren't usually with me on the polls. I'm on the other side. But tonight, 58% of the audience with me that the Eagles' offense will be worse on Sunday if it is Jalen Hurts. 42% believe the Eagles' offense will be better if it is not Jalen Hurts. One other thing I wanted to mention because before we get to NFL picks and guest takes and all that coming up in a little bit, and our favorite FanDuel Sportsbook props. I didn't even look yet to see if they – I bet they don't have any Jalen Hurts rushing props up. They can't. We don't always –
I mean, they can't have any passing props up either.
We'll check that out when we do our segment coming up in a few minutes. But I did want to mention, because I mentioned to our guest earlier, Ben Brown, that, boy, Micah Parsons just looks better and better and better. Like, he's been unbelievable to the point where why isn't he being talked about as Defensive Player of the Year? I feel like he belongs in that conversation. He's on pace for 100 tackles and 14 sacks.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I just find it weird that we're just giving it to Myles Garrett because he leads the NFL in sacks when Cleveland's defense really hasn't done all that much.
Yeah, so, I mean, Parsons is unbelievable. My other takeaway from the game last night was watching Michael Gallup play. I feel like that should be the Eagles' target in free agency. I mean, there's some really good receivers. Chris Godwin could get out. I know Davante Adams' name gets brought up a lot. Ike's been bringing it up. Could you see any way the Packers let him go? I can't.
No, especially if they're actually planning on turning the reins over to Jordan Love next year.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. They'll franchise him. Like, they won't let him walk out the door. I think Gallup is attainable, and I don't think he's going to cost $25 million a year where it's like, you really want to pay that to a wide receiver. I like Michael Gallup, and I think he would be a really nice compliment to Devontae Smith because obviously they need the Eagles need another wide receiver, and I'm not interested in using another first-round pick on one. If they keep Hurts and they're using cap room to build around him, that feels like, remember when the Eagles signed Alshon the minute free agency opened after Wentz's first year? Gallup should be the next guy.
And I also wonder if they could get him on a cheaper deal. Like, they got Alshon Jeffrey on a one-year $14 million deal because he finished the previous year injured and was looking for just a prove-it thing to raise his value.
Right.
Michael Gallup has a lot of questions over whether or not he's just a product of that offense, right? Is Michael Gallup good because Michael Gallup's good, or is Michael Gallup good because he's lining up next to CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper every snap and is pretty much drawing the third best coverage player on the opposition?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would take the chance on him. He's still young. I think he's 25 years old. He came in the NFL young. He's had good seasons already. He's a guy that can catch jump balls. I'm a fan.
Kind of fits the profile of the best Eagles free agent signings. Think about guys like Malcolm Jenkins, Brandon Brooks, guys who may have had success but haven't fully broken out yet.
And they're younger, right? They hit free agency at a younger age. It's not like you're signing a 28 or 29-year-old. He's still 25. A lot of good football left. Michael Gallup, and you're hurting the Cowboys. I mean, taking a good player away from their team. I'd be in on that day one of free agency if I was Harry Roseman. 215-592-9494. That gets you, Bernard. We got a lot to do coming up here. We have NFL picks, guess the takes for week 13, and my favorite FanDuel sportsbook props for the Eagles and the Jets on Sunday. And yes, we do have our confirmation on whether or not Jalen Hurts props are in here. We'll tell you about that coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Basketball fans, celebrate the NBA's 75th anniversary season on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, new customers can place their first bet risk-free, and if you don't win, you get up to $1,000 back. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. Look, you put combined player point totals, rebounds, assists, money line, the over-under, or the point spread. That's why I bet on FanDuel, and it's so easy to use. Look, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet, and they're now accepting Venmo, and they have fast withdrawals. When you win, FanDuel can pay your winnings in as little as 2 hours. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. There's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel, so see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code Jillio to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Make every moment more this NBA season. That's promo code G-I-G-L-I-O.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley is behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard here on this Friday night. Oh, we got to do a lot here before we move to who's up next? Sean Bell on a Friday night, as usual?
It's usually who it is.
All right. I'm looking forward to hearing Sean coming up at 10. Until then, we have NFL picks to get to right now. I'll guess the takes for Week 13, what everyone will be talking about early next week. And then we'll dive into the FanDuel Sportsbook odds props for the Jets and the Eagles game on Sunday. Let's start with NFL picks for Week 13 here. I've got a lot as I pull up my FanDuel Sportsbook app. Games I like, and I'm even going to throw a college game in here as it is conference championship weekend. I know one game is going on right now. It looks like Utah is smashing Oregon for the second time in 3 weeks, so should be a great weekend of football. Actually, I would argue this is the best weekend of football overall until the NFL playoffs. I mean, you get all of the conference title games this weekend across college football. We'll know by early next week who's going to be in the college football playoff, and then you get a great Week 13. All right, let's dive into my favorite plays for the week, NFL picks. Here's what I'm starting with. Game number one. I only have one favorite this week. The rest are going to be underdogs I think will cover or win outright. Game number one, I'm going to go with the Las Vegas Raiders to beat the Washington football team and cover a 1.5-point spread. Washington's been pretty good lately. There's no question. They've turned their season around. I think it's interesting their defense has gotten better. When they lost Chase Young and Montez Sweat, it probably says something about those two guys that is not favorable to their potential stars of the future, but they've been better without them. Yet I think this is a difficult spot for Washington. They're coming off a short week. They played Monday Night Football. Now they travel out west on a short week, so one less day of preparation. The Las Vegas Raiders won on Thanksgiving in Dallas. They get 10 days of rest, and they're at home. So that's a big disadvantage this time of year with the extra rest, the travel. It's a big advantage for the Las Vegas team. And for as well as Taylor Heinicke has played, Derek Carr is the better quarterback. I get the better quarterback at home, more rest. Give me the Las Vegas Raiders, who are now back in this race in the AFC to beat the Washington football team. I'll go Raiders minus 1.5. My first dog this week, it was one that our guest Steve Fezzik pointed out a couple minutes ago, and I agree with him. I like the Seahawks getting 3.5. Let me give you a comparison I thought of as I looked at this game this week. This reminds me, I feel like the Seahawks getting 3.5 points at home this week is this week's Giants-Eagles. Division game, one team looks like it's ascending. The 49ers look like they're ascending. The Eagles before last week were ascending. The other team just got embarrassed on the road on Monday Night Football. That was the Giants 2 weeks ago. This is the Seahawks this week. So a team coming off an embarrassing home loss on Monday night, going back home, division game, getting 3.5 points. It sets up exactly the same way. We know what happened last week with the Eagles. And keep in mind, no Deebo Samuel. He's a gigantic part, I think the biggest part, of the 49ers offense. And no Fred Warner on defense. We're talking about the number one playmaker on offense and defense out for the Niners. Plus, you know Jimmy Garoppolo. Every time, and I like Garoppolo, but every time he has 3 or 4 good weeks, what happens? He throws a clunker in the mix to make everyone, you know, think he stinks again. This could be a clunker. Everything is going against the Seahawks, but they're getting 3.5 points at home. And for as bad as Russell Wilson was on Monday, if you notice, his numbers are upticking every week. His completion percentage, his yards, he's gotten a little bit better each week since coming off of the finger injury. Who knows? Maybe he rushed it back, and maybe Russell Wilson kind of looks like himself, more like himself on Sunday. I will take the 3.5 points at home with the Seahawks over the 49ers. Game number three. I think the Denver Broncos are getting too many points against the Kansas City Chiefs. I know Kansas City's been better of late. They've turned their season around, and you know their offense has figured some things out. But 9.5 points? You know, Denver has a better point differential than Kansas City. Like, I don't think these teams are that significantly separated. Like, if this was a touchdown, that might make more sense. But 9.5 points, it was 10 earlier this week. That was the best number. Teddy Bridgewater in his career has a great record. When he is a bigger than 3-point underdog on the road, he covers these games. And Andy Reid, for as good as he's been off the bye, 19-3 in his career, he's only .500 against the spread off the bye in his career as a Chiefs coach. It's not been the same. I will take the 9.5 points with the Denver Broncos. And my last play, and I might be wrong on this one, but I got to take it. I'm going the Houston Texans plus 10 against the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts have been very good of late, better of late. But the Texans' defense has been kind of sneaky good for the past 3 or 4 weeks, and they take the football away. Carson Wentz, we know, is prone to the mistake every once in a while with a turnover. I'd say one turnover in this game keeps the number within 10. Colts are very likely to win. In fact, I'd be very surprised if they lost. But plus 10, I got to take the Texans. Texans plus 10 in a division game. Raiders minus 1.5 in a game against the Washington football team. Broncos plus 9.5 against the Chiefs. The Seahawks are plus 3.5 against the 49ers. So those are my NFL picks. My one college pick, I'm going to go with Michigan and I will lay 10.5 points. I think they're going to smash Iowa tomorrow night in the Big Ten title game. I took Michigan last week plus 7.5 against Iowa, Ohio State. I was pleasantly surprised and happy they won the game. I like this Michigan team. Everyone hated Jim Harbaugh and said he was bad. He's not bad. He just could never beat Ohio State. Now he has, and it looks like Michigan is going to have their spot at number two in the college football playoff. I like Michigan a lot this week. I don't see how Iowa scores on Michigan's defense. And Aiden Hutchinson, we might get a defensive player win the Heisman Trophy with Aiden Hutchinson now sitting at 16-1 in the odds. I'll go Michigan to win their game by 10.5 points over the Iowa Hawkeyes. So there's a college play I will throw in there. All right, now as far as the takes, we try to guess the takes, what everybody is talking about come Monday and Tuesday. The first one is that maybe something is really wrong with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens offense. They have a good record. They have not looked right for the past month. They squeaked by a Bears game in which Lamar didn't even play. They squeaked by last week because their defense did a lot, and they lost the Miami Dolphins. It feels like something is off with the Baltimore Ravens. I think that continues. They may beat the Steelers in a close, low-scoring game. I don't think Lamar and the offense look right. What's wrong with the Ravens? And is it Lamar Jackson will be what you're hearing on Monday? Take number two is going to be about Sean McVay and the Rams, and maybe some spotlight on Sean McVay as the problem. Not so much Matthew Stafford and not so much, you know, Jared Goff before it. Look at the Rams offense. Every single year, the past 3 years or so, they crater around week 9 or 10. It's like everyone gets film on them and Sean McVay can't adjust back. They're 13-point favorites against the Jaguars. It's a shame and says something significant about them if they can't put up points and can't cover. I think they'll win, but I don't think McVay's offense is suddenly going to wake up all of a sudden because they're playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. That game could be dicey for a little while, and I think the take will be, uh-oh, here we go again with Sean McVay and the Rams offense. I don't think it is what it was cracked up to be. And the third take you'll hear come Monday is that the Buffalo Bills could miss the playoffs. No one has talked about this, but they have some tough games coming up. They have the Bucs coming up next week after the Patriots, and then the Patriots again. Everyone just thinks the Bills are a lock, and they're obviously a good team, but they've got some difficult losses already in their schedule, and they could have some more coming. When the Patriots beat the Bills, the question is not just going to be, are the Patriots going to win the East? It's going to be, could the Bills miss the playoffs altogether? Those are the takes. Those are the picks for Week 13 in the NFL. All right, we'll get to the FanDuel Sportsbook props here. But, Tucker, when you look, the Rams are the biggest favorite on the board this week. Are people going to start wondering if it's McVay's fault now? It was always Jared Goff's fault when they struggled. They're struggling again.
It's kind of funny because there's been a bit of a turn against Matt Stafford, right? Like Matt Stafford through week 8 or 9 was MVP, and finally he was liberated from, you know, the black hole that is Detroit.
Right.
And finally he was playing for a real coach and a real franchise who could win. I wonder if Matt Stafford's just Matt Stafford. I mean, the guy played for like a decade in Detroit. They actually had a couple decent teams with Jim Schwartz, with Jim Caldwell. Maybe it's him. Like, maybe he is actually a flawed quarterback at 33 or whatever age he is. But I agree with you. Like, the evidence is mounting that Sean McVay, as good of a schemer as he is, he's a flawed coach. Like, they've had 1 year where they put everything together. Then they fell apart in the Super Bowl. He's never been terribly aggressive as a game manager. He's always had a lot of flaws, and I think their team and their skill level has helped them kind of get around that for the most part. I do wonder when the turn starts, and maybe it does start now, but I don't think they can lose to Jacksonville.
Yeah, they won't lose to Jacksonville at home. They're 13-point favorites. I mean, the Jaguars are pretty terrible, but the turn's going to happen at some point. I think they play the Cardinals next week on Monday night, which is probably their only chance to win the division is to win that game. At some point, someone's got to ask, like, hey, maybe the coach is part of the problem here. He's obviously a good coach, but I mean, Sean McVay's been crowned the great Sean McVay. And it was always someone else gets blamed when they don't win a Super Bowl or get close to it. And it was the ex-quarterback, and obviously he's not that good. And now it's this new quarterback. I mean, the offense stinks after week 9 every year. I think the turn's going to come here soon on Sean McVay. All right, let's get to the FanDuel Sportsbook props for the Eagles and the Jets game. Now, because of the uncertainty around the quarterback situation, Tucker guessed it earlier, there are no props up for the Eagles quarterbacks. There's no passing yards props up. for Jalen Hurts or Gardner Minshew. Same thing with rushing yards. So one of my favorite picks each week is always Jalen Hurts' rushing yards over. It's been one of the easiest plays every single week for like a month and a half now. It's like I just take his over. And FanDuel, for some reason, had never boosted it over like 45 and a half. And every game is like 50, 55, 77. It was easy money. Well, that's not available this week because we don't know if he's going to play in the game. Here are some props I do like for the game on Sunday. It is interesting, though, as I look at this, they do have Jalen Hurts' anytime touchdown score up. No passing props, no rushing props, but he is the third most likely to score a touchdown in the game, according to FanDuel Sportsbook. Okay.
Is Minshew listed?
As anytime touchdown scorer?
Yeah.
He is not. He is not listed. All right, here's what I like for Sunday. And they're both pretty decent long shots. Kenny Gainwell is plus 340 to score a touchdown on Sunday against the Jets. Now, just think about the Eagles' injury situation at running back. There's not going to be Jordan Howard again this week. Miles Sanders says he's good to go, and he says he's going to play. But like the next time Miles Sanders could handle a big workload within a game and stay healthy and productive the whole way, that'll be the first time. He never does. He's always hurt. So I'm going to stay away from Miles Sanders on this. Plus, you're not getting good odds. It's minus 135. The other one would be minus 135 to score.
How many touchdowns does Miles Sanders have this year, Joe?
I think that would be zero.
Okay. I'm just checking.
Minus 135. He hasn't scored yet.
I mean, what are my odds to score a touchdown? Am I also minus 135?
No. You're not listed. But you and Miles Sanders have the same amount of touchdowns this year. It is a bizarre number. Is it because he's the only, like they can't project who else would score for the Eagles because Hurts might not play? No Jordan Howard?
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things. Like you see it a lot in fantasy football where just there's no one else on the offense, so you just pick a guy. Like he has to get the touches because you have to run 50-plus plays. I guess that's kind of their theory there, is he has to get carries because who else is going to?
Boston Scott is the other one that's the same odds, minus 135. I'm going with Kenny Gainwell. You know, if the Eagles are going to, whatever quarterback's going to play, right? It's probably going to be more of a running game. They're likely going to be up in the game. I doubt after last week they're going to be risky in the red zone. They're going to run the football. And if they are throwing it outside the red zone or, you know, within the red zone, maybe a running back out of the backfield kind of throw to Gainwell. I like the odds on that, plus 340, Kenny Gainwell. Here's my favorite touchdown scorer, though. It's not a player. It is the Eagles' defense. Eagles' defense is plus 350 to score a touchdown on Sunday. Zach Wilson has turned the football over in all but one. He's thrown a pick in all but, and some of those games he had five. One of the games he had five picks. He has thrown an interception in every one but one game this season. And that game was when he got hurt against the Jets, and he only played like the first half of the game anyway. So like every game that Zach Wilson has started and finished, he's thrown an interception. So I will get to Zach Wilson props because I'm going to take him and throw an interception on Sunday. But how about the Eagles plus 350 to score a touchdown? We've seen how good they are, specifically Darius Slay, at turning, turnovers, whether it be a fumble or an interception, into a score. I could see the Eagles' defense scoring on Sunday against the Jets. Plus, Darius Slay, at this point, he's trying to put the finishing touches on a Pro Bowl season, maybe an All-Pro season. I mean, he's got a chance of that, but certainly a Pro Bowl season for Darius Slay. I could see the Eagles scoring on Sunday. Zach Wilson has been so bad at protecting the football. And if the Eagles get a chance to bait him into one, they've shown an ability to bring it back. Plus 350. Tucker, what do you think? Plus 350 on the Eagles to score on defense.
I mean, the last time they played the Jets, they got two defensive touchdowns, right?
As we found out, Orlando Scandrick and Nate Gary.
And is Zach Wilson that much better than Luke Falk?
At this stage, no.
I always worry about defensive touchdowns. Seems like every time I pick one, it goes wrong. But, yeah, I mean, Zach Wilson is just a walking turnover.
Yeah, and like if you're doing a same-game parlay, you worry about that because it's pretty unlikely to happen. But if you're just taking the prop, right, just taking it straight up, I think it's pretty good odds there. All right, as far as the interception, Zach Wilson, I have to take it to have an interception because, like I said, he has had an interception in all but one game, and that one game in which he didn't have an interception, he didn't play the whole game. He got hurt against the New England Patriots in October. So we're going the over half an interception to throw an interception, however your favorite sports book. FanDuel has it as an interception prop over or under a half. I say over, yes, to throw an interception for Zach Wilson. My last one that I like for this game, I'm going Miles Sanders under 70 and a half rushing yards. It's a lot. I know that the other backs are a little banged up. I mean, I imagine Boston Scott's going to be able to play. He's in illness right now, unless it's just a terrible sort of flu that he can't play. I imagine we're going to get Boston Scott playing. He'll get touches. Kenny Gainwell will get touches. I'm going under Miles Sanders, 70 and a half yards. I don't know if he stays upright. He has an ankle issue he's trying to play through. Last week, we know he came out of the game. I mean, he always can break one. I mean, he's done that a couple times this year. He's breaking a 25 or 30 yarder to boost these numbers. Tucker, what do you think? Under Miles Sanders' rushing yards of 70 and a half.
Yeah, I'd also argue that the flip side of it is this is a game that I think we're all in agreement probably gets out of hand early. Probably gets out of hand by the second quarter or so. So if it were to happen, quite honestly, he could be sat down the middle of the third quarter and only get 10 or 11 carries, right? Like, you could see kind of like in the Lions game, where I think Kenny Gainwell had the most carries on the team because he had 11 carries in garbage time.
Right, the fourth quarter.
That could certainly happen again.
Could. And I'll take one more. I actually like one more here. My final FanDuel Sportsbook prop I like for the game here on Sunday. I'm going to go the Jets team total under 19 and a half. I think the Eagles will hold the Jets and Zach Wilson to less than 20 points in the game. So we'll go with the Jets team total under, Sanders rushing yards under. The interception prop for Zach Wilson is almost a lock. The Eagles to score a touchdown on defense, and Kenny Gainwell anytime touchdown score. All right, so that's the FanDuel Sportsbook props for the game on Sunday. Before we hand it over to Sean Bell coming up at 10 o'clock tonight, we do have to play one more thing. As I mentioned, it's College Football Conference Championship weekend, and it's a great slate of games. There is one coach that has nothing to do with championship weekend this weekend because he won't be coaching because he's actually not actually coaching a team right now. He will be starting soon. His name is Brian Kelly, and he took the LSU job this week. He left Notre Dame, big story in college football, and he got like $95 million to go not win a title in the SEC and probably be overpaid in a couple years, but whatever. This is what happens in college football. Coaches move. I don't really care that Brian Kelly doesn't coach Notre Dame anymore. It doesn't matter to me. What I do think is funny is what happened last night. So I guess he was at, do we know where he was? It was an event.
It was halftime of the LSU basketball game.
Okay, so that's why there was the big crowd. So he was, I guess that they brought him down to the court, say hi to everybody. And I've heard Brian Kelly talk, I guess, just as much as everybody else. You know, before a national title game, he was in one with Notre Dame, or a college football playoff game, or ESPN, whatever. I think we've all probably heard Brian Kelly speak at some point.
He's done a lot of TV work in his career.
Yeah, he's a fairly famous college coach at a very famous program. I wouldn't say I could pick his voice out of a lineup, but I've
heard, he is from Massachusetts, Joe.
That I know, and I've heard him speak before, and never hearing him speak at Notre Dame or whatever as an analyst, never did I hear a Southern drawl. Well, he goes to LSU for 2 days. Here is Brian Kelly kind of playing up to the crowd at LSU last night at the basketball game. Listen to this.
Well, this is a great way to get started. And I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
Well, how would you grade the all out of nowhere Southern drawl by Brian Kelly? The family one is the funniest part when he talks about his family. But I also think it was funny to hear him use. You notice he put like a vowel on the end of tiger. He didn't pronounce tiger with the R on the end.
He also called it Louisiana State University.
Now, I have a lot of questions. I couldn't stop watching the video last night when it was posted. Do we think that Brian Kelly thinks he could continue the bit? Like, is this going to be a thing that he does now, or is this a one-night trial run to see if I can pull off a Southern accent? And then
I'm here with my family.
He can't do it again.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he just thought it was funny. Maybe they told him to do it as a bit. Maybe he's actually in on it. Or maybe he's just a doofus and thought, like, this will go over well. I'll just pretend to be Ed Ogeron.
But here's the thing about accents if you're faking them. That is a challenging bit to continue. Like, anyone could joke around and try to pull one off, you know, like once in a while. But he's going to be coaching in Louisiana, you know, talking to people that talk like that every day. Like, after a while, when you live somewhere, you do start to maybe pick up on some of the way people talk. But I don't think you can do that forever. Or for whatever, he's a 10-year contract, whatever he's going to do down there. That's a tough thing to do.
It's just weird because, like, did he think he could just get away with it? Like, people wouldn't remember?
I think he did thought he could
I mean, it. Like, you literally coached at Notre Dame, which is arguably the most famous program in the country. You've done a ton of TV work for ESPN because your team never gets invited to the college football playoff. People have heard you on TV for hundreds of hours, whether you thought about it or not. Like, you're not coming right from Cincinnati to LSU where when we hear you for the first time talk, go, oh, I didn't realize he talked like that. Like, I think most people, whether you know it or not, you know what Brian Kelly sounds like, and it's not that.
No, it's not that.
I'm here with my family.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall if this idea was put out there by someone within LSU. Like, why don't you try to sound like everybody here? You know, listen to some clips of Ed Orgeron on your way down.
Why don't you sit around and eat a big pot of gumbo, and we'll talk about it. We'll get some beignets.
I am rooting so hard. Beignets are delicious. You ever have a beignet?
No. I mean, they're like square donuts, aren't they? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's particularly, impressive culinary. It's not like something that no one's ever made before. It's a pastry with some filling in it, but it's good with powdered sugar on it.
They have them at Popeye's.
Well, that's Louisiana. What is it called? Like Louisiana Kitchen or?
Yeah, it's Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen.
I mean, I have to say, if Popeye's isn't contacting Brian Kelly right now for like some sort of deal with them, they're missing the boat.
Oh, 100%.
If I need to see Brian Kelly on my TV talking about fixins at Popeye's ASAP because there is a marketing opportunity there. I hope he continues this. The guy sounds like a complete dope, and I just think it's great stuff. All right, coming up next, we have Sean Bell, who's not a complete dope, and we'll have a great show for you guys. I will be back on Sunday morning with Glenn and Ross Tucker, and we will have the Eagles and Jets pregame show at 11 a.m. So I'll talk to you guys then. Have a great weekend. And Sean Bell's up next right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And hey, it's Joe Giglio. Football is finally back. Your picks could be worth $10,000 with the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Sign up today by texting picks to 20357. Then just pick the winner of each week's games. No point spreads, no lineups, and totally free to enter. Pick the most games right throughout the season, and you could win $10,000. Sign up now by texting picks to 20357. That's picks to 20357. $1,000 up for grabs each week, and $10,000 at the end of the season. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.